Fleischman G. Sauer, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Valley.
Everybody, this is Rudy Valley and Company. The company tonight includes
Mr. William A. Brady, Sr.,
veteran producer and showman who presents a scene from the old-fashioned melodrama Monte Cristo, done in the 1890 style.
Mr. Robert Lorraine,
famous English actor, creator of the lead roles in numerous Bernard Shaw plays on the London stage, who appears in Mr. Brady's support.
Mr. George Dewey Washington,
great Negro baritone who offers one of the major song numbers from Strike Me Pink, the show in which he is now appearing.
Mr. Walter O'Keefe,
of Notre Dame O'Keefe, now as ever, Broadway's leading hillbilly.
And Miss Sophie Tucker,
the one and only Sophie, last of the red-hot prima donnas, and the favorite guest artist of yours truly, Jimmy Wallington and the Connecticut Yankee. That Miss Queenie Smith, originally scheduled to be with us tonight, will not be here because of unavoidable circumstances. We hope to have her with us next Thursday. Fortune can excite me, for I have well. When your two arms invite me, no more, no less. Your kiss and your caress, to reach the moon is not my aim, and I don't crave the Hall of Fame. I want some you. What I want most is you, dear, just you. No more, no less. My aim, and I don't crave the Hall of Fame. I want a few. What I want most is you, dear, just you. No more, no less. The nearest thing to a court jester New York has ever had is Walter O'Keefe. A few years back, his bright topical songs and his rapid-fire comment on the passing news parade made Bonnie Gallant's downtown nightclub the accepted rendezvous for smart New Yorkers. More recently, he has won a much wider renown on the radio and on the stage. Mr. Walter O'Keefe, the Broadway Hillbilly.
Good evening, my dear parishioners. This is Michael O'Keefe's oldest boy, the one who is working. I mentioned my father simply because Sophie Tucker is on the bill, and Sophie and my father and I all come from the same town, the good old town of Hartford, Connecticut. Of course, Dad is retired now that I'm working. He will not work. He absolutely refuses to go to work. We can't get him to go to work. It's really wonderful, the willpower that runs in the whole family. I know it's a thrill to see Sophie out here and notice how she's keeping her figure. Many a woman would be satisfied just to keep her figure, but Sophie has added on to hers. She picked up the 89 pounds that Paul Whiteman dropped. Dad was telling me about Sophie up in Hartford years ago. She was always of a very charitable disposition. As a matter of fact, during those hot summer nights, when the people down in the tenement district would want to go out and get the air and they wouldn't have a veranda or a porch, why, Sophie would go down there in those hot nights and they'd all clamber up in her lap and sit around for the evening. I mentioned Dad a while ago, out on the coast, he's doing something with chickens. He's found out the effect of chickens on radio. He figured that turning in the radio about 9 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night when it was dark, the chickens would get into a lather. Now, there was one old hen there called Marlene D. And, about one egg a day seemed to be her limit. Until she heard Rudy Valley crooning, and she was so happy when love... She was so happy when love came into her soul that she got up into the nest. And during the flightsman hour, she laid 6 eggs, 3 egg cups, and 2 egg plants. There was another one there, a romantic Rhode Island Red. She'd rather not have me mention her name. And this one really went for Walter Winchell in a big way. She liked that rapid-fire staccato machine gun-like speech of his. And the first night she heard him, she took her tempo from him. And she crawled up into the nest, mind you, while the 15-minute period was on, and believe this or not, she laid 144 strictly fresh eggs. We finally had to pull her off the nest for her own good. Now we're having her wired for ham and bacon. You know, I never saw a cozier audience than this one here, nor did I ever see one that was better dressed or better mannered or more appreciative. I was over in a Broadway cinema temple the other day, and there was a couple on the left of me. A fellow and a girl. I say girl, maybe I use the word loosely. But you know the type. When you're trying to describe a girl's feet, you might say she had tiny little sissies, or pretty little puppies, or darling little dogs. This girl was really getting around on brewery horses. I never felt such colossal feet in my whole life. I think she'd have done very well for the government up in the Northwest, stamping out forest fires. Well, you know the type that wants to get out in a hurry. She wanted a cigarette, I guess, off the intermission, and they go all over your toes, scrape all over your feet, over your shins, and never a word of apology. Well, I did the only thing a gentleman could do. I fell back in my seat, limp and exhausted, and I thought my chance will come. Wait till she comes back, and I'll get a chance to trip her and cripple her forever. But when she came back down the aisle, really, she was so polite and well-mannered that I couldn't hold my attitude of anger. She bent over me very politely, and she said, I beg your pardon, but did we step on your feet as we went out? What could I do? I said, why, yes, you did. So she turned to her escort, and she said, okay, Joe, these are our seats. You know, I would really like to stay out here a long, long time, but I've got to go out in the alley and address the overflow. And in response to a great many requests, I'm going to do a song. It's a hillbilly song, The Man on the Flying Trapeze. And I want to have you notice the arrangement that Rudy has here. He has 6 violins and 3 cellos, 2 drums, 4 saxes, no Goldberg, 1 viola, and 2 Annabelles. It's really very effective. Give me the pitch pipe, Lemuel.
Oh, once I was happy, but now I'm forlorn. Like an old cup that is captured and torn. Left in this fight where we stand upon, betrayed by a maid in her teens.
Oh, this maid that I loved, she was handsome, and I tried all I knew her to please. But I never could please her one quarter so well as the man on the flying trapeze.
He floats through the air with the greatest of ease, the daring young man on the flying trapeze. His actions are graceful, all girls he does please, but up he has so little bit.
He'd play with a miss like a cat with a mouse. He'd flirt with each lassie who sat in the house. Perhaps he is better described as a louse, but still people came just the same. He'd smile from above on the people below, and one night he smiled on my love. She blew him a kiss, and she hollered, bravo, as he hung by his nose up above.
Oh, he flows through the air with the greatest ease, the daring young man on the flying trapeze. His actions are graceful, guilty, that's the love he has so little bit.
I wept and I whimpered, I simpered for weeks, while she spent her time with the circus's freak. The tears were like hailstones that flow down my cheeks. Alas and alack and alaska. I went to this fellow, the blackguard, and said, I'll see that you get your dessert. His thumb through his nose, he put up with a sneer. He sneered once again and said, nurse,
oh, it's lovely there with a great sneeze. There is young man, I'm quite happy. His actions are graceful, long as he does please. Oh, but I'll be a solid place.
One night to his tent, he invited her in. Our lovely, immaculate, sweet heroine. I said, you be careful, he'll be your ruin. You'll make the supreme sacrifice. But even so I loved her, I said, take my name. I'll gladly forgive and forget. She rustled her bustle, and then without shame, she said, maybe later, not yet.
Oh, it's lovely, the air with the greatest ease. The daring young man outside that me.
His actions are graceful, all girls he does please, and my love he has stolen away.
All last summer, everyone was humming and singing, We Just Couldn't Say Goodbye. The song was unquestionably a success, and so Harry Woods, who wrote it, chose another theme around which to construct the same idea. The story is told in Just a Little Flower Shop Around the Corner. Just a little flower shop around the corner. Just a little shop that's hidden far away. But it seems that heaven heard a harsh and angry word and sent us walking by today. No one knows how sad and blue we both were feeling. We were sure our love affair was really true. But the flowers on the shelves were smiling to themselves, and soon we started smiling too. I took her hand and led her through the doorway. The daisy seemed to wink a knowing eye. I bought the violets and then I kissed her. We left and had a real good cry. Just a little flower shop around the corner, but we always stop whenever there's a chance. For with skies so blue above, head over heels in love, we know it saved a sweet romance. In the new musical hit, Strike Me Pink, two features stand out. The famous nose of Nigel Durante and the fine singing voice of George Dewey Washington. In a production number written by Lou Brown and Ray Henderson as a worthy successor to That's Why Dockies Were Born, Mr. Washington gets his big chance. The scene is a swampland road in the deep south. A chain gang of colored prisoners is hard at work on the road. Four of them, southern Negroes, sing happily of what they will do when their short sentences are finished. The fifth, played by Mr. Washington, is a wanderer from Harlem, in for a long stretch. And here's the number. Home to Harlem.
One year more, they're gonna open up this jailhouse door and have tops and chickens and gals galore. In one year more,
long years, long years.
Boy, I'm going back to Georgia.
Yeah, and I'm flying to Tennessee.
Now, here's a man from Alabama.
New Orleans for me. Yes.
Hey, brother, ain't you from the Southland?
No, sirree, not me. I just happened to roam a long, long way from home. I'm one of God's children that has gone wrong alone. I know I was weak when I should have been strong. Oh Lord,
Lord,
my head is so weary, my heart is like stone, this place is so dreary, and I'm so alone. You ask me to wait, and I ask you how long. Oh Lord, oh Lord, why can't you set me free? This is just hell for me. Take me from the swampland. Take me from the mud. Take me home to Harlem. Harlem in my blood. Let me see my heaven. Land of Avenue. I'm in love with Harlem. Harlem loves me too. But I need music, I need life. I'm tired of slaving for these whites. My day feels bigger, I'm plain nigger. But up in a Harlem I start right. I can't go on slaving in this dungeon hole. Talk, think about, talk about, dream about Harlem. Harlem, 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 in my soul. Oh, take me out of this swampland. Take me out of this mud. Take me home. Take me home to Harlem. Cause it's Harlem that's in my blood. That's Harlem. Oh, let me see my heaven. Let me see Lenox Avenue. I'm in love. In love with Harlem. And I know that Harlem loves me too.
Come on, we say,
listen, that's Harlem. That's Harlem. But I need music. I need life. I'm tired of slaving. Body's white. What they feel bigger. I'm just plain bigger. Up in Harlem. I'm that life. I can't go on slaving.
for some musical wag to draft the heroine of the old-time joke, the farmer's daughter, into a song. This time it is the farmer's daughter's wedding day. Cows go moo, the owls go hoo, and every little pig gives a grunt or two. The roosters in the yard cock-a-doodle-doo. It's the farmer's daughter's wedding day. All the folks are down for miles around. Came to get a look at the bridal gown. Even got the music from out of town. It's the farmer's daughter's wedding day. Here she comes with her father beside her boys. Here comes the bride. Here's the groom, but he's no man to guide her. He's full of apple cider. The hired hands are waiting there. They're going to kiss the bride, and the bride don't care. The biggest day in town is the county fair. It's the farmer's daughter's wedding day.
To the Fleischmann's Yeast Hour, directed by Rudy Valley. Rudy presents Walter O'Keefe, George Dewey Washington, William A. Brady Sr., Robert Lorraine, and Sophie Tucker.
Thank you.
shadows are falling, and sleep is calling, for day has fled. Darling, in a moment I may dream, I'll dream a gay dream of you, my love. Down to sleep, I close my eyes and pray I'll keep a rendezvous with you. I wish I might be hurled away out to some magic world and be with you alone, just to love with impunity and find immunity from all care. Just to love as a lover would, I know that I could with you there. Oh, dreams, won't you conspire to grant me this, my heart's desire, as I lay me down to playing saxophone at New Haven. Allie Rubel is the chief saxophone boast of Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut. This is one of his numbers in a serious vein. Now I lay me down to sleep. Now the Dean of the American Theater, Mr. William A. Brady, Sr. The famous producer and showman will be heard as Edmond Dantes in that grand old melodrama, Monte Cristo, played in the grand old manner by a cast which includes Mr. Robert Lorraine as the Abbe Faria, Mr. Reginald Carrington, and Mr. Reed Brown, Jr. We are using a radio adaptation prepared by Miss Grace George. William A. Brady, Sr. as the Count of Monte Cristo.
Time, 100 years ago. Scene, a dungeon in the Chateau d'If, a subterranean cavern of stone damp with icy moisture that oozes in from the sea. Edmond Dantes, an officer in the French Navy, is held prisoner here for reasons of state. We see him seated on his rough cot, head in hand, bewailing his terrible fate.
For 18 years, I've been confined to this dungeon, and know not why. Oh, God, shall I ever see the light of day again? Shall I ever feel my foot press upon the green sod? Shall I ever see Mercedes, my affiance, or my poor blind father? Oh, God, help me. It's been so long. So very, very long.
What was that?
It's the sound I've heard several times before, as though someone was striving to break through the wall. It goes louder. Nearer. There. Behind my bed. What can it mean? I must know. It can be no enemy. Or if it were, what then?
Help me.
A man!
Help me.
A companion!
Help me.
A brother! For God has been kind. He has not let me die alone in despair.
Who talks of God and despair at the same time?
In the name of heaven, speak again. Though the sound of your voice terrifies me.
Who are you?
An unhappy prisoner.
Your name?
Edmund Dantès.
How long have you been here?
18 long years.
Your crime?
I am innocent.
Of what were you accused?
Of having conspired to aid the Emperor Napoleon's return from Elba. But how come you here? Who are you?
I am number 27. For years I believed that I was digging towards the outer walls of the prison, only to find myself in another dungeon. Oh, cruel disappointment. Wretched prostration of the hopes that have so long sustained me.
Do not despair. The first effort has failed. The second may succeed.
No, I will try no more. It is the will of heaven.
Please, tell me, sir. Who are you? What is your name?
I will trust you now. I am called Saria.
Ah, the prisoner who...
Who was believed mad. Yes, but I have done well to have found you. We will form another plan to escape.
But you will not leave me. We will escape. If we cannot escape, we will talk. You of those whom you love, and I of those whom I love.
No, I am alone in the world.
Then you will love me. I have a father who is 70, if he yet lives, and a young girl named Mercedes. God alone knows if she loves me still. I shall love you as I have loved my father.
It is well. We shall meet tomorrow.
Next day, the scene shifts to the dungeon of the abbey. Weakened by his long imprisonment, the good father stands at death's very door. He calls to Dantès.
Oh, Dantès, my friend, help me. Help.
Courage, courage. You will recover.
No, the moment of my deliverance is at hand, and my deliverer will be death.
Then I too will die. For do I not love you more than life?
Assist me. I shall not long need your devotion. Pray heaven that I may not die till I have recompensed it. Look well at this.
I see only a paper, partly burned, on which, with a strange kind of ink, some Gothic characters are traced.
That paper, my friend, is my treasure, which, from this moment, belongs to you.
Oh, heavens, his madness has returned.
I am not mad. This treasure exists. Dantès, read. Read.
A portion of the lines have been destroyed by fire. What still remains is unintelligible.
To you, my friend, who read them for the first time. But listen, you have read in history of Caesar Borgia, the princely poisoner?
Yes.
Listen well. One day, 3 centuries ago, Cardinal Spada, the wealthiest of the Roman cardinals, was invited to dine with the Borgias. He well understood their purpose, but had no means of escape. He accepted their invitation and died of poison. But out of the immense fortune which it was known the dead cardinal had possessed, no trace was found. What few valuables there were sold. Amongst them, a jeweled breviary. 10 years ago, I learned that this famous prayer book was for sale, and I purchased it. Oh, I am weakening.
Harrier! Harrier, father!
One evening in my study, being greatly fatigued, I fell asleep and did not reawake until darkness had set in. I sought for a scrap of paper to light my lamp and remembered having seen in the famous breviary a piece of old yellow paper. I found the paper, twisted it up, and lighted it at the fast-sinking fire. But in my hand, as if by magic, as the flame mounted, I saw words appear upon it. In a moment, I understood there was some mystery concealed within it. And by the light of my lamp, I soon discovered that those words had been written with a sympathetic ink to be rendered legible only by contact with great heat. Rather more than a third had been consumed by the flames. I read what remained and felt convinced that after 3 centuries, I had discovered the true and only testament of the poisoned cardinal.
But it's illegible, useless, incomplete, since there are but 2/3 of the line.
Yes, yes, but after many laborious nights, I have reconstructed each phrase, completed each thought. See, see, place this to the other, and read, read, Dantes.
I declare to my nephew, Guido Spardo, my sole heir, that I have buried in the caves of the small island of Monte Cristo all I possess of ingots, gold, money, jewels, diamonds, gems, which may amount to 2 million of Roman crowns, and which he will find by raising the 20th rock from the small creek to the east in a right line, which treasure I bequeath and leave entire to him as my sole heir. Oh, heaven! If it should really be. But how was it that you did not yourself attempt the discovery?
I was about to do so when I was arrested and imprisoned here. Have confidence, Dantes, for a voice assures me that what I have been unable to perform, you will accomplish.
Oh, Father,
I am about to die.
Mario,
I am dying now.
Oh, do not leave me.
Forget not Monte Cristo.
Oh, my God.
My sight is gone.
Oh, Mario.
Reason escapes. Your hand, Dante.
Your hand.
Your hand. Adieu.
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 Adieu. Dead. And I am alone again. No longer to see. No longer to hear the voice of the only human being who attached me to life. Oh, if I could die. It is easy. No. I desire to live. Before I die, I must not forget to punish those who sent me here and try to reward those who helped me then. Who sends me this boss? Since it is only the dead who go freely hence, I will take the place of the dead.
Dante calls his jailers. They place the body of the poor priest in a sack, make ready to throw it from the battlements of the chateau into the sea. When opportunity affords, Dante removes the body, takes its place in the sack, knife in hand. The jailers return, carry the supposed body from the dungeon. The scene changes once more. Now we are on the battlements of the prison. A terrific storm is raging. The sea far below beats with mad fury against the black rock. The governor of the prison awaits his jailers and their grisly verdict.
Dead. Mad old Abbe dead at last. He is gone to regain his treasure. Poor devil. With all his millions, he will be indebted to us for a shroud. Our shrouds are not expensive. Ah, here's the funeral cortege. Quick! 2 36-pounders to his heels.
We found him very heavy for so lean an old man.
It is said that each year adds 0.5 pound to the weight of the bone.
He seems to me taller than when alive.
Do you not know that our height increases with death?
Rough weather, Governor. Not a pleasant night for a sea voyage.
Yes, the old fellow stands a chance of getting wet. Quick, let's be finished. Into the sea with him.
One.
And
2 3 What cry was that?
Go the wind or a seabird. What else could it be? The old fellow is snug enough at the bottom of the sea by this time. So come along. I want my supper.
The storm increases. Can Dante's rip open the sack and swim to safety through those wild waters, or must he die, broken and battered against the cruel rocks below? Look! On yonder rock, the figure of a man emerges from the sea. Slowly, he climbs the steep rock out of the raging waters. He reaches the summit. He kneels. He lifts his arms to heaven. It is Edmond Dantès.
Free! Free at last! Mine are the treasures of Monte Cristo! The world is mine!
Ali Rubel again, in lighter vein this time. Following his Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, we play his very popular tune of the moment, My Picture Puzzle of You. Crossword puzzles, nay, nay, they are out of style somehow. But picture puzzles, hey, hey, everybody's doing them now. I've worked out most everyone. I've had fun, oh, gee. But there's still a certain one that would appeal to me. With a picture puzzle of you, I'd be happy the whole day through. I would sit around and figure till I figured every jigger of my picture puzzle of you. Can't you picture just what I do when I picked up your eyes of blue? I'd be taken by the splendor and I'd whisper I surrender to my picture puzzle of you. Your lips and your hair and your hair and your ears and your ears and your little pug nose, I'd put them all together and I'd worship you from head to toes. Then there's one more thing I would do when my puzzle of you was through. I'd tell my nephews and my nieces not to fool around the pieces of my picture puzzle of you. Weeks ago, we played a song from Lou Brown and Ray Henderson's review, and I forgot to mention the name of the review. Some of you knew I was referring to Strike Me Pink, from which comes one of the loveliest of Brown and Henderson songs, Let's Call It a Day. Regret or a word of blame.
just like two old vets. Let's say we took what came, let's call it a day. Let us say that we just can't pretend. We know it's the end, why delay? Let's call it a day.
Some of these days, from Piccadilly Circus to Times Square, from Greenland's icy mountains to India's coral strand, Boston, Buffalo, Birmingham, and St. Louis, San Francisco, Santa Fe, and New York, New Haven, and Hartford. That tune means, here comes a very great lady and the finest troupe of them all, Miss Sophie Tucker.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Rudy. Sweet boy, isn't he? How did you like that introduction? Boston, Buffalo, Birmingham, St. Louis, San Francisco, Santa Fe. What am I, a special train? It's all right, I may be a bit plump, I may cover a lot of territory, but I'm nobody's boxcar. Now, this is the fifth time that Rudy has introduced me to you people on the air. And he does a great job of it. So tonight, while I've got the chance, I'm going to turn around and introduce him. No, you've met him before, I know. But I've got something new to say about him, and I don't want anybody to stop me. Come on over here, Rudy. Come on over. Isn't he a darling? Look at him. No. Take your finger out of your mouth. Take your finger out of your mouth, Mama Spank. Oh, he is a darling, though. Look at him, bless Mama. Now, go on. Stand still. Stand still and be introduced. Stand still. Now, folks, a little earlier in the program, you heard Mr. William A. Brady Sr. Mr. Brady is a great showman, a great power in the theater. And right here, we have the William A. Brady of radio, the great showman of the future, Lieutenant Commander Hubert Pryor Valley. Great! Beat! Beat! Beat!
Treasures of Monte Cristo. The world is mine.
What was that last remark?
The world is mine.
Brother, can you spare a dime? Now run along like a good boy while I sing a song. The new song, folks. A new song about a sentimental gentleman from Georgia. His daddy was a great big man from the South. His mammy was a St. Louis woman. His sister is sweet Georgia Brown. His uncle is Al Joseph. And his name is Hotshot Joe. Why are all of the gals hepped up? Will you look at them all? Hepped up. Every sweetheart mama's up and high. Everyone has her best clothes on. Got her slippers and silk hose on. If you'll roll an eye in this direction, I'll show you why. Who is that coming down the avenue? Hotcha, yo, the Georgia gigolo. Who's every gal in town been phoning to? Hotcha, yo, the Georgia gigolo. When that man's around, somebody must get petty. Oh, that loving hound, if it can be had, he can get it. Who'll meet every gal in town before he's through? Hotcha, yo, the Georgia gigolo. Wears the finest of clothes, got a diamond ring. He's got plenty of those, cause he's got that swing. Mamas take him to shows, pay his dinner check, cause he's the head man among the female sex. and how the women do care for his stuff. Got the married men all scared, sure enough. He's the fella that they're all shouting to. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. Say, he's the one man. Find plenty of flats to go to. He's the kind of man a woman simply can't say no to. And how the women love his hidey hole. Hot gun, Joe, the Georgia Gigolo. By special request of Walter O'Keefe, who never sat on my lap in his life, even if he does come from Hartford. Now, I'm going to give you I've Got the Right to Sing the Blues with my old standby Ted Shapiro at the piano. Okay, O'Keefe. I don't care who knows I am blue. My song wouldn't take long to give my heart away. I know it's plain, my heart in pain. My song belong to someone feeling gay. I've got a right to sing the blues. I've got a right to feel low down. I've got a right to hang around down the river. A certain man in this old town keeps dragging my poor heart around. All I see for me is misery. I've got a right to sing the blues. I've got a right to moan and sigh. I've got a right to sit and cry down around the river. I know the deep blue sea will soon be calling me. It must be love, say what you do. I've got a right to sing the blues. I close my eyes and pray I'll keep a rendezvous with you. I wish I might be hurled away out to some magic world and be with you alone.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.